After Buzzers, welcome to the Handmaid's Tale After Show. We're talking about episode 11, Holly. We have a very long birth scene. We have an attempted escape. There's plenty of food and maybe a shotgun goes off once or twice. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. You know, because it's in the episode. It's an interesting choice.
Yes, yes.
So this is a Handmaid's Tale After Show talking about episode 11, Holly. My name is Carrie Lane. I'll go down the line.
Hey, everyone. I'm Leslie Powers.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Veronica Barriga here.
Hello, hello, everyone. Takira Shabre.
Now, we are going to talk about all the crazy stuff that went down in this episode, as well as later as our resist sister, which is Alexandria. I'm gonna try to say Ocasio.
Yes,
Cortez.
Yes.
So news of Congress win, and then also we're gonna have some news regarding the wardrobe color symbolism and future series or seasons. Ooh, other series.
Ooh, I was
series.
Like
spinoffs.
I'm not ready.
What? Yes. All right. Overall, quick thoughts.
I mean, my husband literally gripped me and was like, I'm trauma, like, I don't know. And we spent the whole weekend talking about babies, so that might not be happening in my life now after this episode.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's my initial thought.
Wow.
Veronica?
Yes. I love it. Yeah, super raw. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a birth scene like that, ever. So that was amazing. It was raw. I mean, I appreciated how they went there, you know, the extra realness of it. Yeah.
Yeah. In one word, perseverance. And I'll just keep it at that. Yeah. Wow.
Yes. I think those are very good assessments of the episode. I'm like, yes.
And traumatic. Now.
Yeah, it's like, boy. So we have June alone at the house. Thank goodness she goes exploring because I was like, all right, girl, go look for supplies, something. Plenty of food. That's something I was worried about. Like, oh no, she's going to be stuck out there and starve to death or something. So yay, food.
Mm-hmm. Check.
But it's kind of pretty sparse in the house. Okay. Do we feel the wolf had some symbolism, or?
Without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
So who wants to chime in their thoughts on that symbolism?
Well, I read like 500 articles about it because it's bugging me.
Yeah.
All right.
I was like, what does the wolf mean in Handmaid's Tale episode 11?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do that.
Yes. I think we probably each have something to say about it, but I just kept thinking this is Little Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf. I mean, that kept popping up to me like, for color reasons.
Yeah.
And I also read that he was almost blocking her way out.
Yeah.
So she had to figure out another way. And so that was kind of, he was kind of guarding that exit.
You're assuming
her.
The wolf is a male?
Wow.
Assuming. Him. Yeah. Or her. Yeah. I think it was a him.
Oh, good question.
I think it was a him.
My Native American roots chimed in, and I kind of saw it from a different perspective, but the wolf symbolizes, like, rebirth, death, birth in general, and it's really kind of like a ritualistic guardianship over family. Mm-hmm. So that's what chimed into me. So I instantly was like, all of this. I know exactly what this wolf is doing here. I know exactly what it means. But that's a really interesting.
But I read that too, and I was like, is it both?
Because
I
like it. Off of that, was it really there?
Yeah, I read that too.
Because it's by itself, which is weird.
Yes,
they should be in a pack.
That's true.
And human, they wouldn't normally attack people unless they're starving. So unless humans have hunted all the game in the forest, which.
You think it was maybe like her spirit animal trying to come
through? It could have. Oh my god, I'm loving this.
Because it howled, and that's like a sign of like help and alert and pain. So maybe it's her spirit animal. Yeah.
And it never got that close. It was always like a safe distance away.
Yeah.
And led her.
Yeah. I was trying to figure it out too. I love what you're saying, this whole spiritual. Oh my god, I love it. But I was just. The only thing I could come up with was that it was sort of a symbol to symbolize one more thing that she has to bypass. And then she's sort of freer. Sure. But like one big meaningful, one more hump.
Yeah.
One more hump. That's it. Yeah. And it's going to be vicious. But
Yeah.
We do have a live chat going on YouTube. Thank you very much for everybody who's joining us. Takira is managing that over there. Leave your thoughts on any of the crazy topics we talk about. What do you think the wolf symbolized? Was it really there? Is it kind of what do you think? Let us know. If you're watching it later, no worries. Comment down below. You are all wonderful at commenting on these videos. We love it because it's so fun to go through and be like, yes, so many good theories. So at the very beginning, wait, who here, since we have a newer-ish group of people, who here has read the book?
I haven't. I read some, but I'm not. Okay. I started at the beginning of the season, and then I just got so darn wrapped up in the show itself.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's fine. The very beginning narration sounds very much like from the book. Mm-hmm. It is.
I read that. It is from the book. Yeah.
Though at the end, though, it didn't seem as similar to me. Like, the beginning narration, I'm like, I've heard this before. But the end, I was like, I feel it's...
Yeah, slightly similar-ish. Different. Because I thought what parts I, you know, the point at which I did get was at first during in the show, it made me think, oh, she's talking at the end when she's talking. I was like, oh, she's talking to Holly or she's talking to Hannah, like her children, because she was like, you know, I'm telling my story.
Yeah.
Just if in the event, paraphrasing, of course, but if in the event that we meet again, whether it be in heaven or whether it be in another world, a world that's not Gilead. But in the book, it's to students who are studying her, you know, her tapes. So I kind of, like, I saw the
I think the writer said it was all of that. It's cool. Kind of several versions.
Yeah.
It's like an Anne Frank quality almost, right? Yes. It's kind of trippy like that.
She was talking to all sorts of yous, is what the writer said. But the beginning is from the book.
If you haven't read the book, I do highly recommend it, though. Season one is pretty much the book with some... changes, and then two is all new, so don't worry, you won't all be like, I already know
the imaginations of the writers.
Yes.
That's the fun.
Killing great us. Imaginations of the writers. Well done.
How did we feel about when June finds the photo of Hannah with the wife mom?
I think I said what the out loud, because it took me a minute to put together that they were living there.
Yeah.
They must have been living there, but then I'm like, but then
it's like their summer home.
Yeah, I was wondering, I was like, where do they live now? Because all the white sheets were over the furniture. So I'm like, did they leave in a hurry? Did the commander tell them, like, get out? I don't want June knowing where you live. I had all those questions too.
That's like the stuff you're going to do where you're gone for a while.
Oh, really?
And maybe that's like a nicer area when it's warmer. Yeah. Not necessarily the snow.
Because there's supposed to be a lake there.
Yeah. Okay, then that's
okay, so I was like, is this a rich people thing? They like leave and cover all the stuff? I mean,
for dust?
Fashion too, I'd say.
Okay, okay.
Well, if you have nice furniture, then that's you cover to protect it against the dust and everything.
Okay, that was my thought. That was my thought. But I wasn't sure. Because that's a little weird too.
It's a horror movies a lot.
All right.
Yes. It's always a mansion where they're all, gone actually. For a long time.
Okay.
Well, see, I didn't connect to, but my little sister and I were having a conversation, and we thought that what stood out was that they had to leave in a hurry, they weren't supposed to be there because they were just recently there, and there was so much food left, and so we were thinking, okay, what's the story behind this? Like, did they have to leave?
There's more to it.
Yeah, there's more to it. And then the guards that took Nick away last time was like, oh, no one's supposed to be here. Like, is it an unknown territory? Like, did they banish everybody away from this? So that's where
but it might be that simple. Yeah. It's just a different home. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I see that.
My little sister and I were all up in the last episode trying to, like, get clues to this episode.
They do look, like, non-perishables, though. Like, a lot of canned goods and stuff.
True.
So that
could be.
You sit there for that's years. True. I also watched too many post-apocalyptic
movies. Right.
We get the memory of Hannah at school and saying bye.
Wow.
I like that. Was this like you and your mom? And she's like, no.
I love that. Not really. She's like, no, I was independent.
Yeah, we didn't have that kind of relationship.
I don't remember, like, leaving, like, first day of school.
I don't either.
Me either.
So it's like, no. It's all right. Let the kid be a little traumatized. They're not going to remember it later anyways.
That's absolutely correct. Exactly.
It also was a different actress playing Hannah.
Well, she was younger.
Yeah, but it still was a different actress. Yes. But yes. I was like, that's so obvious.
Yeah, did you mean too? I had a little issue with that casting. I thought they could have done better.
Like preschool and Hannah is more like six.
Yeah.
So this is like,
yeah.
I feel like they could have at least done some camera work to make her look shorter or younger, but like, I don't know.
The match was a little off, I think.
Yeah. It threw me off a little too. Sure. I was like, wait, who is this kid?
It's Hannah, just baby Hannah.
Yeah.
Baby Hannah.
Finds the garage with the car keys for the win, which is great. Whoa. And the car starts, but there's no power, so you can't open the garage door. Fudge, right?
Oh, yeah.
Rose was like, ah!
I was like, of course. Then we're going to make it that easy on.
Yeah, no.
You're talking about when she revs? Are we there yet? Or no? Well, sorry.
It's all kind of together. Like, well, before she goes back and rams it, but still, like, she goes and she hears the radio. Now, I kind of felt this symbolizes, one, it's hope, because it's the world outside.
Yeah.
It's news and music. And then later, when she walks away at the end, I'm like, well, wait, if it's a radio signal, that might mean it's nearby.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I think we were doing some research, like someone said, like 4 hours or so-ish.
Yes,
like
how, I read that
how
too.
Far, yeah. Like 4 to 5 hours, how far a broadcast can go. But shout out to Oprah.
I know, yes! Right?
Did you guys notice that?
Yes!
I love that Twitter was like, Oprah made it out of Gilead.
You know?
Oprah survived.
If anyone could do it, dang it.
A motivational speaker on the radio, right?
Still a motivational speaker. Yeah. And I was thinking, oh, 2020, this whole 2020 thing, is she, you know?
is she talking to us as president?
President of this new, you know, the good part of America?
Yeah.
I didn't notice the first time. I read about it and I was like, Oprah had a cameo? And like watched it back and I was like, I was looking for a visual cameo. And I was like, how did I miss that? No, she's on the radio. She was on the radio.
Yeah.
We'll get our F-bomb here because she says it. She goes, fuck it, and goes back inside.
Yes.
Which is funny in a way, like a way to have humor. Yep. But then I was like, all right, she's smart and loading up. But dude, it took her way too long to figure out to change clothes.
Oh my God. I was like,
that would have been the first thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was like, you're in bright red. You're in bright red. Stop.
And the bonnet too. It's like, girl, that's the first thing you should be taking off. Please take off the bonnet, take down your hair.
Yep.
Though technically with the bun, she could probably pass as a wife.
Yeah.
So, but then cover up that dress.
But then I also read in somewhere they said wives don't drive in Gilead. Mm. So that would have been a dead giveaway had she put on the, you know, the Mrs. Blue. Mackenzie's
blue.
You got to dress like an eye, right? You got to get that outfit. She get away with anything.
She did put some in, some male clothes on.
The guy's jacket, because I think the problem is when she looked at the dresses was like, they're not going to fit her. With her pregnant belly.
Yeah.
And also,
it was like man's coat.
Yeah, and if she knew they couldn't drive, maybe she thought I would get stopped faster. Mm-hmm. Like, why is a wife driving?
Yeah.
Which is obvious.
Then we get a memory of her getting ready with Luke and pregnant, which was really kind of sweet. He's just like, oh, you're beautiful.
She looked so good.
These flashbacks are everything. They just keep her going throughout this episode, and they're so necessary and so sweet. And then at the end, we kind of just see how they actually literally got her through, you know, that that very painful, crazy birth.
That was my perseverance part of it all, because it was so nice that she kept reflecting on visions that were so relevant to the situation that she was in at the moment. And we saw perseverance in Moira. We saw it in her mom, especially in this episode, and in June, and in Serena, because she defended herself. And what woman in Gilead does that?
We'll get to that.
Her husband. Yeah. I know we'll get to it, but that is why it kept playing. Yeah. Perseverance kept playing in my mind.
Then it was like, oh shit, a car is coming with Serena and Fred. Wow. So then we now think, whose plan was it, or did he tell her because it went sideways?
I know.
We had theories.
I know. And I feel like mine went, I feel like thinking the commander did it went out the window for some reason.
Really?
Because he seems so angry too, like that they were out there, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know. Somebody else say something because it's bugging me.
I feel it's his plan, it went bad and he had to tell her.
I think so too. Mm.
And he didn't really want anybody, had you?
Because like he doesn't have to tell her anything, really. Well, so I don't know.
He wasn't trying to. Go ahead. Oh yeah, no, he wasn't trying to. Right? She was like, "They were here." He was like, "No, they're not. Maybe they're not here." And he was trying to play up. And then until the last moment, he was forced to. When she found the clothes, he was forced to kind of let it go.
Yeah. But and I think my sister, she's here for the weekend, so we watched it together. So we like dissected this, but. She brought up a good point and said that he kind of wanted her maybe to get away.
That's what I got.
I don't give him any good props at all.
No. But maybe because she's a reminder.
But it's a reminder of that's not his baby.
So
it's not really of a, hey, I had a change of heart, but this is not my baby. Serena's obsessed with this. I'm sick of her. Like, this is power for Serena.
Okay. So I can see it in that way. Like, not a nice thing. But
yeah, not in a nice way.
Mess up someone else.
Well, a lot of men, when women have babies, right, they become a little jealous or they feel like the baby's replacing the love with the mother. Maybe it's something of that nature.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Leave your comments down below. This is a very big one. Are we having any concise thoughts in the chat on some of these?
I am. A lot of people, Douglas is still saying Isaac and Eden are the main suspects, mainly okay. Isaac. So I would love Eden and Isaac to be at the root of this setup.
That'd be interesting.
I would love it.
I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, I would love it. So yes. Douglas, I'm all here for that.
Yes. So I'm not saying that makes more sense than me thinking the commander like made Nick get hurt and kidnapped or
taken.
But it'd
be more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did hear her upstairs, and we kind of see him shift from saying anything. So that was really strange.
Fred, inside?
Mr. Waterford, yes.
Oh, you thought he heard? I didn't think, I missed
that. Oh, you think he heard her?
Okay, I think he heard her. So, you know, when she was slowly opening up, taking the shotgun out, trying to be really quiet.
Did he actually, like, look
he
up?
He looked up.
Oh, yeah,
he looked up. Oh, wow. And then he was like, he kind of rolled his eyes, because I know those of you who are listening, he kind of rolled his eyes, and then he started listening to Serena and walked away. So it just seemed like...
It's on the border enough of did he hear her, or did he just think he heard
it? Yeah, and then there's
what do you all think? Yeah. Please let us know.
And there's
other clues. Because now I missed that.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
Well, then they kind of go, that's the moment when I'm like, oh, you should have left, but lo and behold, couldn't open the garage door, so.
Right.
Me, couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
That's when I felt they're both in on it. So Serena, oh, there we go. I think Serena heard a noise, but, because that's when she finds the bonnet and the cloak. Mm-hmm. Dude, she was scary. Whoo, do not mess with that woman. No, I loved it, because I was like, damn.
She had authority. Like, she definitely was like, you will, like a child, like a mother, you will listen to me. Where are you? Get down here. Like, that was the attitude.
Very ownership. Yeah. I mean, like, always, but rageful ownership. Mm-hmm. And, I was scared if she would have found Fred. I was not ready for that moment.
I was like, she's going to drag her out by
the
ear.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty,
No, she's going to drag that baby out, call my girl. Like, and then tish her to be left to the wolves.
The singular wolf.
The one.
So you kind of mentioned it to Kira, but this couple standoff. Finally.
Wow.
They both, it's one of those, no, tell me what you really think.
Yeah.
Thank you. Both of you people who have had all this anger, let it on the table. It was like, because you hate both of them, so you're like loving them, tearing each other apart.
There was like a gif, or is it a gif or a gif, whatever those things
are.
Of this baby like rolling over laughing when Fred says like, oh, they'll probably string us up together, just my fucking luck. It was just like, that's actually funny. For the first time ever, he was clever in his humor, you know,
because
he
very
was
very witty.
Yeah, he was witty.
I think that's something a husband would say in a fight.
Yeah, just my luck. I gotta be dead next to you.
Clever eagle.
That's good writing.
Clever eagle in the chat pointed that out too. He was like, it was hilarious.
It was so funny. Very funny.
Any other thoughts on that showdown?
Well, it was like, I wanted popcorn to just, you know, this is like, let it out.
Tell
resentment is unhealthy. Okay. You're resentful. You're angry. Yeah. Keep it going.
I do think that was the moment that June felt pity. So pulled back from doing her
deal. Well, actually leading into that. So she finds the gun and Serena gets the line. I gave up everything for you and the cause. For a baby.
For a baby. Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted.
Wow. Mm. That's a powerful statement.
And
June
has the choice to shoot them. Would you guys have shot them?
Absolutely.
I don't think I would have because I think...
Takira's not in her head for people listening.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's your gut instinct, but I think when June was thinking, what if I miss? What if I only hurt them? I'm pregnant, you know what I mean? Then she's got a whole other mess on her hands in addition to what she's already
in. It's a better five steps ahead process.
Very much so, but I'm a good shot. I was like, there's two in there.
And when they're standing in front of each other, it's perfectly
true. It could have been you.
Yeah, one shotgun bullet
that
both of them out.
Yeah. That is the thing. You would have to take them out because even if you injured them now, you don't.
Exactly.
You're pregnant. How do you tie up two people if one is still shot? But I ran this whole situation.
Yeah. And more people are looking for them than are looking for her. You know.
Now this is talking about fictional horrible characters, so not real people.
Yes.
That disclaimer. But if you were all, and then question for the chat, and then people comment down below later. if you're in June's place, would you have shot them or not? Mm.
Do you think they, because I feel like she was going to go through it, and then they moved. And it was just that
timing. No, she took too long.
She did.
If
okay.
you're not
okay.
shooting in that moment, you're not going to. Like, that's in movies, too. They're like, if you're not going to do it now, you're not going to do it later.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think if tables would have turned, Cat 9001 brought up a good point that she thought when Serena was crying, she thought that Fred was going to hurt or kill Serena.
Oh,
I
wow.
think if that would have happened.
Oh, then yes.
Oh, yeah.
Would have.
Yeah. Should have been like one for me and one for Serena, you know, even though Serena sucks.
Right.
Yeah. So then they leave so that she's stuck there again by herself. Right. Which I'm like, did they really do a thorough search of that house? Please.
I think that Fred was instilling the anxiety of like, we gotta go, we gotta go, we gotta go. So.
Yeah. No, but that mm-hmm. is a great point. They didn't. They,
no,
it was
not
just
at all.
Like, I was like, okay, you're leaving already, but...
Yeah, how many places
did
she hide?
If Serena really wanted to find her, like, you would have checked mm-hmm. every square inch of that place. It's like, they didn't even seem like they checked the garage.
But not who, exactly, yeah.
Who, like, man, I wish they would have. Maybe they would have opened the door.
That would have been great.
No, I needed power, though. I had no power. Because the whole house had no power, too.
I'm just curious if this story about Waterford, you know, instilling this mm-hmm. anxiousness in her and saying they're going to come and get us. I mean, are people really checking houses while people are on vacation? Do you think that the eyes really do that?
I think there's a patrol of some sort, I would think.
Okay.
Well, somebody came by while they were there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the question is, did they spot them going that way? And
or
was
it someone
planned?
Tip them off?
Yeah.
Good question.
We might
find out.
A fun flashback. We get Moira, June, and her mom at the kind of alternate facility of where you have your baby. And clearly a strained relationship between June and Holly. But it was kind of cool to see that place. I'm like, I didn't quite catch the name, but and I don't know the official name. Yeah. I don't know any people who've had babies. But
Birthing Center. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
With a doula and a midwife and all that. Yeah.
It looked nice, though. But I like June. She's like, no, I want the drugs.
Yeah.
I want the doctors.
Give me a doctor.
Sterile, please.
But I just want to give a shout out to Cherry Jones as playing Holly. I love that actress. Mm-hmm. I think she's wonderful in everything she's in. And she's just gold when she's
great
on
casting.
Screen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's effortless. She's great.
So we always said no power, no door. Oh, yeah. And then she couldn't manually open the door. When she rams it, I kind of was like, sure, why not? Like, you gotta try.
Yeah.
She had a moment.
She did. She was like, oh!
It's like, a preview for later.
It was. It really was.
When she shoveled the snow, that fall looked like she really fell. I was like, that was a good fall.
Yeah.
I was like, that was like, oh, damn, she fell hard. Yeah. And then that was the moment where she's bleeding. I'm like, oh, it's time. And the wolf was there. So again, kind of possibly spirit guide or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Watching over her,
inside with the fire. And I kind of, who thought, fire, smoke, be noticed, someone's going to see it?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I just thought,
good call.
Well, she keep shot the gun in the air. For
I know, but that was
fire.
After.
Oh, okay.
She lit the fire.
To be warm.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Maybe she knew she was going to have the baby because the contractions were
And she probably wasn't even thinking straight at that point anyway.
The area is so secluded. I don't know if they would have noticed the smoke in the chimney, but that's a good call.
Know. Yeah.
You never know. In
we
that
don't know
area.
What kind of chimney they have, too.
Under his eye.
Right. And that's true. Right.
Someone's always watching. Yes. That's correct. Yeah. Never assume.
And then we get a lot of memories of when she had Hannah and... I love the moment where she tells Luke to go F himself, and he's like, I love you. And she's like, I know I love you too, but...
And she's like, what is this song? I hate this song.
Yeah. But he's so funny and cute. And I mean, maybe it's cliche. For any ladies who've had children and given birth, is that real at all? Like, is there moments of the weird outbursts and then be like, I love you, and then say something weird? Or is that just what they put in movies and TV? Because I feel like it's maybe both.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there are moments where you
My husband
say
was
something.
Like, you're going to be so mean to me. And I was like, why? You say that?
Like, hey, like, I don't even want to be at the hot, like, I'll watch through FaceTime. I want to be there for my child. I want to be there for my child, but I know you. If for my safety, for me to provide for our family, I need to be away.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you'll be like Holly. They'll show up late and be like, oh, it's all done.
Oh, it's
Are
all good.
Are we safe? Okay, good. That's
is the baby crazy. Out?
Okay, yes, that's amazing. All right, so her mom does show up, and then we do learn she gives the name Holly to her new daughter, her next daughter.
Mm-hmm. I definitely
and
cried.
It's her mom's name. Yeah, so this last segment, we'll break it down a bit more. And any thoughts, comments, and please chime in from the chat, because it is a raw and very honest, really. Like, that's what it... I mean, again, I haven't been present at a birth, but I feel like that they showed, like, they were not, like, sugarcoating or anything.
Oh, no.
It was almost 7 minutes I don't know if y'all noticed, because I was like, oh, we're almost at the end. I'm like,
I know,
oh,
you're noticing. You're
it's
like,
it's still going.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with that, it was so great that she had already had a child, because then she's not totally freaking out of like, wait, what do I have any concept what to do with her mother? And then the constant back and forth flashbacks. So, comments on how that scene was for you to watch.
Yeah.
Okay, first thing, this is, I mean, I don't think I've ever said this, but shout out to the prosthetics team on Handmaid's Tale. That womb looks so real. Uh-huh. I mean, maybe part of the lighting too, but that was phenomenal. Yeah. Great work, prosthetics. And the acting, of course. But yeah, refreshing, raw. I mean, I just, you wanted to look away, but you couldn't. You were like, this is insane. Mm-hmm. And her yell and her pain.
Her grunts.
Felt her pain, her grunts. Mm-hmm. Amazing. I think that it's a great scene. Yeah. I appreciated it for everything it was, even though it was, you know.
Hard to watch.
It was so graphic. Weird and awkward and beautiful at the same time. Yes. Because I'm watching and cringing, but then I'm like, this is really emotional, though.
It was a beautiful moment.
Yeah. Crying.
Like,
it was so primal.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a great word,
Because the grunt and the, like, it's just, like,
the noise.
And Kira, which, not this one, but the other one. Kira Snyder, one of the writers and co-producers on the show, said, like, this scene was, like, she wanted that primal instinct of birth to, like, bleed through this episode to, like, show.
Pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Pun intended. To bleed through this episode. But to show, like, she's connected to all of the women that have had babies in this in this episode, or in the show, rather. But,
oh, wow,
Just so primal.
Connecting to all the other stories, too, of birth was great and refresher. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, those moments.
Yeah, and I loved when they flashed back.
The horrible ones.
To the Red Center and how she connected with Moira for a second. Yeah. And how that moment actually taught her, you know, breathe, 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 push, push, push.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like that awful moment actually taught her something.
I
thought it was beautifully done. I thought the prosthetics were great. The silhouetted lighting. I was just like trying to look for. I was like, is she really pregnant?
Is she naked? Well, it's a great way to light it because it's not showing you too much. It's not the over bright fluorescence of a hospital. And again, that kind of adds to the primal and like literally caveman style of like cavewoman.
Yeah, I thought it was
beautiful. The fire and the lighting, and then it also kind of helps with like not showing too much, showing enough.
Yeah. I read an article. Just enough. they were saying that they felt that it was vulnerable, equal parts vulnerable, but beautiful, which is what women are when they give birth. That's this author on, I believe it was on Vulture, on vulture.com, but she gave a good description of it.
That sounds good. And they said it took hours, obviously, to film that scene. That writer Kira wrote it, and she's like, hours, and then we're in Toronto, and it's like, she's got to be doing these cold scenes and then the interior scenes, and, you know, obviously, they call her Lizzie, but Elizabeth Moss. You know, just a champ.
And well done, Lizzie.
Yeah, I know, right? Alyssa Jones in the chat brought up a good point. Elizabeth Moss doesn't have any kids, so her performance was even more that outstanding. Yeah. So, for you to just, like, mock what you see on TV or, like, what you...
Well, that's...
You know, does she have, like, a hate or something that have had babies? Like, this is what you do.
A guy?
All the mommies.
Yeah, if they have... Or she probably... I bet she researched, like, asked her mother and, like, friends or anything.
Sure.
And then, similar question for all the mothers out there.
Yes.
How was your birthing experience, if you don't mind sharing? Like, when you, and then also when you watch this on TV, do you sit there and go, no? Or
they're doing it wrong.
Oh, yeah, like, sure. Well, like, my brother's a drummer, and he'll watch drummers, and he's like, they're not really drumming.
Yeah.
Like, he totally is like, no, it's BS. He's like,
you know. Hollywood drummer.
Yeah. So then I'm curious for anybody who's, for all the ladies who've given birth, like, how, like, and how I have accurate. Another friend who hates watching birth scenes. She's just so bothered, like, can we just skip that? So, I mean,
is she a mom or no?
No, she is not. Okay, she never wants to be. So,
So, there you go.
That's any other thoughts on this episode?
Just the ending, I guess, was, it was a really powerful moment between mom and daughter. Just the little
was there
baby.
A car approaching?
Yes.
That was my question.
Headlights.
There was a car approaching.
There was.
Sweet tires.
Man.
But she shot the shotgun off, so she knew.
She knew.
It's kind of one of those... it's not that people haven't had babies alone, but in that environment, help would probably be better, even if it's the bad people.
Well, yeah, so you would have done it? You would have shot the shotgun to get help? Would you guys?
Well, I wonder how confident she felt in, like, because
the complications, like, after pregnancy, like, and she had she the could complications die. Before, you know? Yeah.
Plenty of women and have then died in childbirth. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just so painful for her to say, not now, not now. You know, that was, I couldn't even deal with that scene. It was just like, if you could just wait 20 minutes or like
let me dethaw this ice so I can get out of this garage.
Yeah. Like, if I could just get in that car and get on the road, drive to the hospital. But isn't that real? Like, childbirth the way.
Yeah. We gotta go now.
They have a mind of their own.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that she was thinking about the baby in that moment, not herself. And that's
right.
Yeah,
that's what a mother does.
Sacrifice. That's what a mother does. Yeah.
Any other comments on the chat on that epic episode ending
about who had the headlights?
Yeah, I did ask for predictions, so they're trickling. Oh, well, so I'll save those. Yeah, I'll save those. But Alyssa, again, the flashbacks to all of the women in her life was giving birth was a little comforting, a beautiful shot. Mel Lee said, "I'm a mom who hates birth scenes."
All right,
so that is very interesting point. But shout out to some others. Harry Painter, Douglas, Rebecca Dunnell, Saul Syracusa, Jamie, Cat 9000. You guys are amazing. Blowing up the chat. I love it. Yeah. So I'm going to table some of these predictions and we'll reveal them a little later.
Yeah. So we're going to hold on to our predictions. So now we're going to go into our special segment, which is our Resist Sister. Oh. And that's somebody who has done something in the news recently that is worthy of note. And then Veronica's going to take it away.
Yes, yes. Okay, so our Resist Sister of the Week is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She is the 28-year-old, she's on screen there. Yep, 28-year-old Latina woman from New York. She ran for Congress in the 14th District of New York, which is part of the Bronx and Queens. And not only did she run, she won. And yay! This was, yes. But it was a huge deal because this is her first time,
And she's 28.
She's very young
for any form of any office.
Amazing. There's not enough women, you know, that are in politics. This is her first time running. She was a community organizer for Bernie Sanders. And it's just, people are just saying this is like the Bernie Sanders effect where people, you know, are empowered to work for the people, and her whole campaign was funded by donations from people, not you know, special interest groups. Mm-hmm. And her opponent actually had his funding outweighed hers. It was like 18-1. Like, he had millions and millions of dollars for his campaign.
I saw her tweet. Someone's like, "Oh yeah, you like dissing her in a way," and then she showed pictures of her tennis shoes. She said before and then after, and they were run to the soul, like gone. Oh, and she's like door to door, grassroots. Like, I did the legwork.
Wonderful.
I was like, you go, girl.
Yeah.
It really
seems lovely, too, and very, you know, full of life and energy. And that's so nice to see.
Her footage of her winning is so exciting, too. Yes. She's just like, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out.
It's the best. Just last thing I want to say. So she beat out the guy that held this term for 10 years.
Wow.
The same guy had it. So she broke that. Resist Sister,
Great. That's awesome.
And then we have our news.
Yes. Do I get lights and...
Do we get our music? News?
There it is.
TV News.
Yeah.
So I read a lot of articles this week about the symbolism of colors in The Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. And we've all noticed, obviously, handmaids wear red. The wives wear some shade of blue. The Marthas, the aunts are wearing this, like, gray and khaki. But the commanders wear black. And that symbolizes power. And so when June is going through the house this episode and is finding stuff to wear, and she puts the commander's coat on for the first time, and it flashes to her in all black with a tight dress on and her feeling a feeling of sexy and empowered, it kind of shows that that's what they were trying to do, is to show, like,
I appreciate that.
Get
I dig
it.
That, yeah.
And also the red and black together, if we remember back to the episode called After the Bomb Went Off, that combination symbolizes death. So that is also a very powerful image, because they had to wear that to the funerals of the handmaids and the commanders. So anyways, I thought that was really cool. And I also, with the aunts and the Marthas, the khaki and everything is kind of symbolizing army and guards, and they kind of blend in. But that the blue with the wives symbolizes a little bit of coldness and iciness. And when she's naked, obviously giving birth, it's like she's kind of stripping all that. She doesn't have to wear that white frock that they would put her in, and she gets gets to be wild and free, yes, like a lone wolf. Giving birth in the end. Also, I want to give a shout out to at Ms. Anne Boleyn on Twitter, who talked about executive producer Bruce Miller has mapped out 10 seasons of the show. That's 10.
Wait, what?
Yeah, someone tweeted at me too. And 10. Was like, hey.
10 seasons?
Everyone was commenting they didn't know if they could watch 10 seasons of that story. And they would probably really start to catch up with real life issues we're facing here in America if we go that far into The Handmaid's Tale. Ooh, so
does that include,
that's my news.
Sorry. Does that include?
I think
what
that includes
done?
What no. is already. I think it includes. What's
I feel
already
like
been done.
Five would be a nice, long but big enough arc, but not too long. 10 might be too much to handle.
I think 10 total.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would
that's
think 10
still
total.
A lot.
That's
amazing.
Lot.
That's, but yeah.
Let 10 seasons of Friends.
Would you watch 10 seasons of The Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah.
I would try my best.
So you know. Also, real quick, we do have this on iTunes as a podcast, so make sure to go over there, give it a 5 stars. Let your friends know who like podcasts to check it out as well. And YouTube, you know, give it that thumbs up and subscribe. And also, we have a lot of other shows. I think we have a little thing
we
on
do,
our other
we do.
Programs.
We absolutely look. So AfterBuzz, here to AfterBuzz, we produce after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. So AfterBuzzers, we need your help. But we produce from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. So there's no network that works absolutely harder to serve television fans. But like I said, we need your help. So we're asking you to please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. All right. But by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that Taylor's made for you and will help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be. They are completely optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. But let us know that you did in the comments and we will thank you on air. We greatly appreciate it. But for now, just thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yeah,
that's thank right. Thank you. Yeah, there's so many other, we'll also mention what other programs we cover at, when we do our sign-off. But now it's time for some predictions.
Woo!
Oh, wow.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I really, really want it to be good people who have arrived at the house. Like, I don't care who they are, but someone who is not going to mess her up. Like, even if they're Gilead people, maybe they're like, double agents or something, and then we'll help you get across or something. That'd be probably too easy too soon, but please.
Yeah, I think it's if it's not Fred and Serena, I think it's somebody like Isaac coming to bring her back.
Yeah,
I think she knew that when she did the shots. Yeah. I think it was a resigning look on her face, and I think it's now that everybody's cracking a little bit because I think Serena cracked, Fred cracked.
Yes.
I think everybody's at a very heightened, weird state, so I think it's going to cause for maybe not everybody thinking they're going to feel the way they think they're going to feel about this baby entering the house and about June returning. So I think it's not going to be as smooth sailing for Serena as she thinks once the baby enters the house. So
well said.
That's what I think.
Well for said. Sure. Yeah.
Veronica?
Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, I'm hoping. My predictions are always like hopes. This is what I hope will happen.
Please. This is what I need.
Probably won't, but this is what I hope. I hope that the commander will continue. Okay. I hope the friction between Serena and the commander splits them further apart, because that gives us a chance that the commander sort of becomes an ally to June in a way. I don't know. It might be a far-fetched situation, but if he rejects the baby and becomes an ally to June, this gives us hope that to help her, you know, escape or move forward. And he might do it out of spite for Serena.
Sure.
To Serena. Yeah. And
he
doesn't genuinely want to keep the baby because it's not his. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I want to see that, too.
Yeah. I am just going, I kind of had similar ones to you guys, so I am going to say a couple from the chat.
Yes, please.
But Hannah Soden said, first of all, she was very happy that Serena did not watch the birth of the baby, because that was really important to her.
Right.
She was like, Suzanne said, effing win, so hello. But she said that Aunt Lydia is going to be around a lot more because she does not trust the Waterfords anymore.
Ooh,
true.
Good point.
That's a good one. So something along there. I know we mentioned before that she might help June. I said that she might help June escape, maybe.
Yeah.
Tyler Durden said, I feel the ending of the season or or show will end the invasion of Gilead by America's old alias. So that is very interesting.
Maybe. Nice.
And then Alyssa Jones said, I wonder if Serena is going to keep June around if she's going to kick her out. She said that she would when the baby is born. Right. So at this point, what's going to happen?
Yep.
Yeah.
Good point.
But yeah, I love all of this. So thank you so much for your predictions.
Yes.
I'll stick with my Aunt Lydia one for sure. And I think, again, I have not seen Eden's big break.
Yes.
It is going to happen. And I hope, I don't think that the writers will let anything happen to this baby, of course. But I think Eden.
Cannot deal with that.
I really think if she, like, kidnaps baby or something, Eden is going to break. So that's mine.
Wait, Eden kidnaps June's baby?
Maybe.
That's my prediction.
Oh, wow.
I'm always working to make this show like super twisty and extra. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That anything is possible in this world. She is very. Is possible.
Yeah.
And the prediction, the highlight of the prediction next week is very big. So if you haven't watched it, watch it. It's kind of interesting.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for joining us in the chat. So we'll go down the line. Where can they find you and what other programs do you do here at AfterBuzz?
Yes, yes. I'm Takira Chabray. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Takira_Chabray. I do Queen Sugar, Love Is, 13 Reasons Why. That's a big one. So feel free to catch me there.
Hey, everyone. Veronica Barriga. You can find me online at Veronica, the letter B, online. I also do a mini spotlight segment. It's pretty cool. So I sit with upcoming actors, musicians, makeup artists, dancers, very talented people that are sort of on the rise. And we sit there and talk face-to-face for like 10 minutes. And it's a really great show. Mini spotlight here on the AfterBuzz channel.
Hey guys, I'm Leslie Powers. You can find me on Twitter at LesliePowers15, and I'm starting Sharp Objects next Sunday at 8 o'clock. Another messed up mystery thriller starring Amy Adams, and also Eden from Handmaid's Tale is in it too, so if you want to see more of her, tune in next Sunday at 8 o'clock.
You'll have to let us know how creepy she is.
I know. Right? Oh, I'm sure she's creepy.
And my name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. You can find me also on Box Office Breakdown on Sundays, where we talk about what movies came out over the weekend, Marvel TV Weekly, and then Handmaid's Tale, obviously, Mondays. Tuesdays, horror movie news, as well as anime, where we're going to talk about Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. And also, this weekend is Anime Expo, so make sure to follow me for all coverage from that event. So thank you so much for watching.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you later. See you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.